The Giants won again. They've won 8 out of 9. They're just one game under 500. MLB corrected their error, and no, the Giants are not yet eliminated. And in this game, the bullpen, the new-look bullpen, continues to look a lot better than what we were seeing earlier in the year. So we'll get into it and much more next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on the show we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And coming up on today's show, we're going to discuss the Giants being red hot and how they had another bullpen game and they've had a lot of success and some specific arms. I mean, Shelby Miller, my goodness, throwing flames out of the pen, just racking up strikeouts like you wouldn't believe. And so a lot of these new bullpen arms have been successful. So we'll get into those guys. And then we'll also get into some more mailbag questions as well that we had left over from last time. But, I mean, the state of the team, the fact that they're only one game under 500, I kind of wanted to say something that I didn't mention yesterday, which is that, you know, we talked a lot about Jock Peterson yesterday and how he had these post-game comments. And one of the things he said was that he thinks it's irrelevant if the team finishes at 500 or above or not. And he also said he'd rather make the playoffs and be below 500 than miss the playoffs and be above 500. And that, I agree with that. I'd rather this team be in. But at the same time, I don't agree at all that that it's irrelevant if the team finishes at 500 or above. And I was thinking that. And then we had Mike Yastrzemski on, interviewed right after the game on the field on TV. And he said, when he was asked, like, what is motivating you here in the last week of the season? And the number one thing he said was playing better as a team, winning baseball is his goal. And to me, because we talked about how the comments by Jock Peterson made it sound like he's a guy who kind of is halfway out the door, Mike Yastrzemski, I mean, he doesn't have that luxury. He's not yet able to leave in free agency. So he's kind of like forced to be here. But at the same time, that's what I want the leaders of my team to be saying. And this is kind of what we mentioned when we said, like, when you bring in players on like 1 year deals, Carlos Rodon as well, they're not necessarily committed to the future of the team. They're thinking about themselves. And I don't mean they're selfish players. I mean, they're thinking about themselves because they're about to hit free agency and they can choose what team they want to play for next. And I don't know. So that's kind of a downside if some of your better players are on one-year deals. But I just much preferred the comments of Mike Yastrzemski, which is that we want to play well and go into the offseason feeling more confident in our team and then carry that into next year. And so I do think that that matters. Maybe not, but I mean, look, this is an entertainment business. You don't want to just go out with a whimper. I just don't agree with Jock Peterson. If they just completely stunk all of September, that's not a great thing for the organization. So it's nice to see. I mean, we're watching these games and they've won 8 out of 9 and they're one game under 500 and they have Carlos Rodon on the mound tonight. So a really good chance to sweep this series and be back at 500 with 6 games remaining. But they've got to get there first. And technically still alive. Elimination number remained at 2. The Philadelphia Phillies have kind of been, not kind of, they've totally been floundering. And now the Brewers have the same number of wins, 83. And so just to be clear, if the Giants were to win out, which is obviously controlling the things you can control, if they were to win out, they would win 84 games. The Phillies and Brewers have 83 wins. And so if the Giants won out, if either the Phillies or the Brewers got to 85 wins, the Giants would be eliminated. But if it ended up that the Giants won out one of those teams like lost all their games and one of them, or even if both of them ended up with 84 and the Giants would actually win the tiebreaker against both. And so, look, the odds are still extremely slim, but we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't explain what's going on. But what that means is that every single day the Giants can be eliminated. And right now, if they were to be eliminated today, it would be with a loss and a win by one of those teams. They would be done. So, yeah. But the specifics of the game itself, I thought were really impressive and worth discussing. And it's the new look bullpen. I mean, this was, I mean, and also the fact that they've done so well in these games with openers, and specifically John Brebbia has just done a really good job. I think he's now had 9 scoreless opens this year. And so there's a lot of moaning and groaning about when the Giants use openers. And I'll point out again, as something I've said a lot, which is that the Giants are not the only team doing this. Like, every team utilizes openers at times. It's the way to go, I guess, if you, there's a number of benefits to it. Like, you might be asking, why don't they just start Sean Jelly? And the idea is that he doesn't have to face the meat of the order 4 times or 3 times. Like, you can skip over it once with a tough reliever. And relievers historically, you know, John Brebbia's ERA is 2.77, right? So if you had a starter with an ERA of 2.77, they're an all-star. And so you can get that kind of performance for one inning, and then you bring in a pitcher like Jelly, who's not like an uber top prospect. He's not an overpowering pitcher, and you let him kind of ease in. And when the lineup turns over and he faces that top of the order, they haven't seen him before. And so it just kind of saves you one turn through the order and lets them kind of break into the game in a little bit of a softer part of the lineup. And it's hard to argue with the results. I get it. Like, aesthetically, it's not the best thing. But if it's different if you're doing it like one turn out of the rotation versus all 5. And nobody wants, it's something you do if you don't. I mean, they weren't doing it when Alex Wood was healthy. If DeSclafani and Wood were healthy, they wouldn't be doing this. And also, they started doing it with Junis because he was really not pitching well for an extended period of time. So Brebbia has done a really nice job in that role. Like I said, a 2.77 ERA on the season just goes to show, last year we defended him to no end, and it's been a nice rebound season for him. And he is a guy who is under club control for, what is it, 1 or 2 more years. And so he's looking like a keeper, and 1 more year. He's arbitration eligible next year, so John Brebbia will almost certainly be back. But then we've got these new guys. We've got Alex Young, Scott Alexander, Junior Marte has been up and down this year, Thomas Zapucki, Jarrell Cotton, and even Sean Jelly himself. So I want to get into the status of all of these guys, what their overall numbers have looked like on the season, and specifically Shelby Miller, who's doing, I mean, it's a obviously small sample, but the performance has just been ridiculous in that small sample. So we'll discuss Shelby Miller and the rest of these bullpen guys in just a minute. But first, guys, we all know that confidence can take you far in life. It's especially true in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA, prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. We've got a special offer for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. All right, as promised, we're going to do a deeper dive on these bullpen arms and just, I mean, Shelby Miller, I wanted to discuss him in a little bit more detail. He's running a strikeout rate of 66.7%. Yes, that means he struck out two-thirds of the 18 hitters he's faced with the Giants this year. Obviously, 18 hitters faced is a ridiculously small sample, but striking out two-thirds of them is also ridiculous. And you don't really fluke your way to strikeouts. I mean, not to say he's going to sustain a strikeout rate even half this high, but what it does mean, I mean, the stuff is playing in a major way. You don't just come in and blow through. I mean, the Rockies and the D-backs are the two teams he's faced, so it's not exactly the Dodgers and the Astros here, but it's just, I mean, Fangraphs has it as half a win above replacement in 4 2/3 innings. So he really couldn't be any better than he's been in the two appearances he's made. And he has a history, he's been a starter, and so they're kind of using him as a multi-inning guy here, and it's really worked out. 67% strikeout rate, no walks allowed, no homers, no runs. And so the way fielding independent work pitching works, FIP, is that if you do this, you can have a negative FIP. And Shelby Miller's FIP is -2.03. Negative two runs is what it's expecting based on this type of performance. Obviously, you can't have negative runs, but that's just what happens. I mean, it means zero and then some is what it means. So look, it's a small sample. Shelby Miller is a guy who is going to reach free agency at the end of the year. He's been in the league. He has over 7 years of service time. So he's not someone who's under club control. He's not arbitration eligible. He is going to turn 32 in October. So he's not super old. He's not super young. But this type of performance and the fact that the Giants are the team that's giving him this opportunity, I would say if they want to bring him back, the chances are pretty decent that they would be able to. Now, if he keeps pitching like this, if he has another 3 outings like this, then there he might get a legitimate major league, you know, multi-million dollar offer from a team. So, I mean, some team you want to buy on upside, and what we're seeing is serious upside. So I'm not saying he's going to get $40 million, but might a team give him, you know, an $8 million one-year deal? I don't know. Maybe. That's probably too much. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But he is going to be a free agent, but this has been a really impressive audition so far for Shelby Miller. Couldn't really be any better. And he throws the slider a lot. That's the thing, too, that is worth noticing. He's throwing the slider over half the time. 54% sliders, 46% fastballs. And so it's just he's never had any kind of a mix like that in his career. In his career, he's thrown the fastball 68% of the time. And in fact, the slider, I guess maybe it's not a new pitch. I think he changed. It is. I mean, he hasn't really thrown this exact pitch. And so he tweaked the pitch a little bit. He used to throw a cutter, a curveball, and a changeup, but now it's just fastball, slider. And again, the fastball was 68% of the time, and now he's throwing it less than half the time. And this is kind of something that modern analytically driven teams are doing more and more, and especially the Giants. I mean, not especially the Giants per se, but the Giants are certainly a team that does this. If you have a really good, quote, secondary pitch, it's not exactly secondary if you feature it primarily, but if you have a really good slider, like, hey, Jacob Junis, a little different. Junis is not a power arm like Shelby Miller, but they say, hey, throw it a ton. And they do. You know, Kevin Gausman's splitter, Carlos Rodon's fastball, like they just featured their best pitch heavily, if whether it's a fastball or a slider or a splitter or whatever. So it's just really interesting to see how they do that. So, I mean, some other guys, John Brebbia throws a lot of sliders too. I think he throws, yeah, his slider is the same, 54% sliders, 46% fastballs. And before coming to the Giants in his time with the Cardinals, it was the opposite. It was like 56% fastballs, 42% or 44% sliders. So it is really interesting to see that. Alex Young, I'm just kind of scrolling through these guys one by one. I'm pretty sure, yeah, I mean, he's throwing his fastball 25% of the time, I guess the four-seam fastball. He's throwing a cutter 30% of the time, and then curveballs and changeups a combined 45% of the time. So it is really interesting to see Alex Young overall with the Giants, he has put up a 2.52 earned run average. Actually, that includes a little bit of time with the Guardians this year, but with, you know, in 2022, Alex Young has put up a 2.52 ERA, a 2.93 fielding independent pitching. Sometimes these numbers are skewed when you don't allow a home run. Fielding independent pitching just takes strikeout rate, walk rate, home run rate, and it uses those. So if you haven't allowed any homers, it actually kind of skews it. And that's why we use something like XFIP, which gives you a league average rate of home runs on your fly balls, because home run rate takes a long time to stabilize. And so that number for Young is much higher at 3.97. I would say of all of these guys that we've seen, Young has probably been the least impressive, but that's not really a knock on him. It's more of a credit to the Shelby Millers and Scott Alexanders of the world. And it's specifically Young, Alexander, and Miller, who are for me kind of the new guys. I guess Cotton is also one of these new guys, but Scott Alexander, I mean, what's crazy about him is this 76% ground ball rate. The league has a negative 10% average launch angle against him. And he has, you know, his walk rate is 1.9%, 1.2 ERA, 2.98 fielding independent pitching. And so just Scott Alexander, and he is a guy who is under club control for one more season through the arbitration process. And Alex Young is also a guy who has multiple years of club control remaining, and he can be optioned. And so that's a feather in the cap of Alex Young, even if, like, I don't want to knock him saying he's the least impressive. I'm just, you know, I'm that impressed with what I've seen from Miller and Alexander. But Alex Young can be in the mix moving forward because he's a guy who can be sent to the minor leagues if they need to create room for somebody else. And we talked yesterday about Thomas Zapucki. The upper 90s fastball, the big wipeout breaking ball, have been really impressive in my eyes. I mean, look, there's definitely some issues. He's at times had trouble commanding those pitches. He's also had a tendency to give up home runs. And so I'm just impressed with the stuff. And overall, the numbers with the Giants so far have been pretty good. And Jarrell Cotton, man, that changeup is like a Bugs Bunny changeup. I've been very impressed by the changeup we've seen from him. And he's a guy as well who features his fastball as a secondary offering. It's a combination of, I mean, this year he's throwing 40% changeups, 10% sliders, 4% curveballs. So it's a, you know, 55% off-speed and breaking pitches for Jarrell Cotton. And how about Sean Jelly? He was a bulk guy yesterday again. The overall ERA isn't good at all. It's 7.20, but when you get into the nitty-gritty, if you look at the expected fielding independent pitching, just by way of example, it's 3.13. And I don't know, he was a little bit shaky at first, and there was some really sloppy defense behind him. David Villar just like dropped a ball that was thrown to him by Jelly, and then the next batter hit a comebacker to Jelly, and he threw to second base, and he threw it into the outfield. And so it was really looking shaky, but he escaped and ended up having a pretty nice outing when all was said and done. He pitched 4 innings, allowed 2 runs, 1 earned, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. He did allow a home run. But I don't know, it's been a pretty decent showing for Sean Jelly in his first major league season. He is a guy, you know, he's just showed up in the majors. And so he's got the 3 minor league option years. They've used one of them this year, but he's certainly a guy who looks to be in the mix moving forward. And so that is good to see. So yeah, a lot of new arms. And generally speaking, it's been a successful month of September. And a lot of it has to do with these new arms having success with the Giants. But what about the position players? What about the offense? We're going to dip into a mailbag question in just a minute. Asking about if the Giants want to improve so much, but they have so many guys who like can be back and maybe will be back, how are they going to get better offensively? And how do we even evaluate this offense? How have they done this year? All of that in just a second. But first, all All right. As promised, we're going to get to a mailbag question. Michael Scott says, feels like about 90% of the current offensive players will be returning next year. So how can we expect this team to look different slash improve if that's the case? Front office is making it seem like change is coming. But aside from Gonzalez, Wade, LaStella, Longoria, Belt, will be the same dire offense again. So I have two issues with this, Michael Scott. Number one, you named so many guys that if we're saying there's 13 position players, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players named, that's like 40% of the guys. And so that would be 60% of the guys returning, not nine. It just doesn't mathematically add up to 90% of the current offensive players. It could be that the guys with the slashes are like one of them won't be back is what you mean, like Gonzalez or Wade, Longoria or Belt. And then the other thing I want to say about this is there's like a common misperception, I think, and it's always been this way with the Giants, that they're a bad offensive team. Even when they're good, people are like, you know, pitching, defense, and just enough offense. But like when they were winning those championships, if you park adjust what they were doing offensively, they were one of the better offensive teams in the game. And last year, they were one of the better offensive teams in the game. And this year, they're not one of the best offensive teams in the game, but what they've been is average. If you look at, I mean, multiple different metrics for this, and I will get to your question in a minute, but I just want to address like same dire offense. I think that is a big exaggeration. Their weighted runs created plus league average is 100, and it's like an all-encompassing offensive metric, and it's park adjusted. And for the Giants, they're at 101, just a tick above league average. But I would look at that and call it average. And okay, you don't like the advanced metrics and you're like, what the heck is weighted runs created plus? How about runs per game? I mean, it doesn't get more like bare bones than this. How many runs are they scoring on average per game? And the Giants score 4.37 runs per game. League average is 4.30. They score a slightly above average number of runs per game. And it's not great. I mean, look at the Padres. The Padres are scoring 4.40 runs per game. The Giants are at 4.37. So it's almost the same as the San Diego Padres. And again, this is a team that I think people look at the Padres and they're like, this is a loaded offense with superstar talent up and down. Well, the Giants have scored 4 fewer runs than the Padres in the same number of games. 4 fewer runs than the Padres in the same number of games. And so, yeah, I think what they are is more of an average offense that didn't get any star level production offensively from anybody. I mean, Jock Peterson has been really good in his platoon role, but if you take an average offense and you add a couple of impact players, I think that that's, I don't know, I don't want to say it's necessarily enough, and I'm not being specific, like two, if you add like Aaron Judge and another good hitter, suddenly you're a significantly above average offense. Like one player can move the needle if they're that much above average offensively. And so, I mean, they need to replace some guys, but they're starting from a better point than I think a lot of people think offensively. And also, if they're turning, if they truly are turning over 40% of the guys and not 10%, if they're returning 60% of guys and not 90%, I think that there's enough space there to improve the offense. And I don't know exactly how many guys. I've said I'm not sure Lamont Wade Jr. will be back. Probably not is kind of the way I'm leaning. We don't know about Jock Peterson, but he's offensively certainly been a net positive. Guys like David Villar and Jason Vossler and, I mean, those two specifically can be optioned. We don't know how big of a role they're going to play next year. JD Davis has hit really well. Evan Longoria, I don't know. I mean, it just depends on how many guys. I just think the names you mentioned could be the guys who are turned over and that's enough room to show improvement from a better starting point than people think. That's kind of the way I see it. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name's Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. Helps me out a lot, so thank you in advance, and thanks to everyone who's done so already. Coming up tomorrow, more from this game and also more mailbag questions to get to. Can the Giants get to 500? Carlos Rodon, probably the second to last start he'll make this year, and so we'll be watching closely how he does. Can he stay in that Cy Young race? That'll be a topic of conversation because he is in that race. Anyway, can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.